with a monkey on my knee. The pond shine dry like a lady's compact. Lilies leap like flat green hearts. White hearts squirting yellow pollen cocks. Ferns ran like cool speeds. Fossils away from rocks. Bees echoed dark carbon hums that dashed in nothing. Gnats fucked my ears and nostrils. Hit my brain like bones and numb to nothing. Wings stuck on liquid bones. Making love to a vampire with a monkey on my knee. The moon poured hollow down my milky leg. Splash still and move. The wind beat down the willows and pricked the needle vine. The monkey moved a first shadow. Its soot tail curled in twos. Its lips smile needles. Her throat broke open. Glistened in the dew. Red berries dangled like a dream of rubies too. Snot muscles ran down her ivory chin. In tooth within. A locket, a pin held faster than my love, my pocket, deep within. And senses dangle the chain that clasped me to her then. The messenger spoke the wind that blows between our time. I sense you then in whispering spin, in flowing silver dust. Around the pointed pin, sent to nothing. God, please fuck my mind for good. Making love to a vampire with a monkey on my knee. White cloth bones pile up light thrown blades. Rags and skull. Scoop soil cracks. Drains. Streams. Please take my hand and join me. Too soon its clutches gleam. Making love to a vampire with a monkey on my knee. Death be damned, life.
You may dispense with the pleasantries, Commander. I'm here to put you back on schedule.
You like drugs, don't you?
I love drugs.
Welcome to my world. Involve yourself within my dream. Experience the life just like your mind thought not to be. Take a look through time and pass all around this world to be. I rule this inferno and throw for eternity. Coils of the serpent unwind. Buried beneath your body. Deep in the heart of the dead. Spirits in black till the end.
Yeah.
flashlight.
I love jocks.
The Rutherford Institute, here is John Whitehead.
Remember the candy you ate as a kid? Fizzies, wax lips, candy cigarettes, candy buttons, atomic fireballs, BB bats, bubblegum cigars, and lemon drops were all the rage at one time. But as more schools fall prey to zero-tolerance policies, the sweet concoctions of childhood are fast becoming bitter pills to swallow for today's young people. For example, one 6-year-old Colorado boy was treated to a sour experience after he was caught sharing a lemon drop with a fellow student. After calling an ambulance and the local fire department, school officials suspended the boy from school for a half a day under the school's zero-tolerance policy for illegal drugs. The point of law is our Fifth Amendment. The right to due process, especially in the form of common sense in the classroom, is one of your first liberties.
This has been a public service announcement from the Rutherford Institute. For a free book about your first liberties, visit www.rutherford.org or call toll-free 888-287-1787.
It's not just at Halloween that the flesh eaters come out. Those who fancy the taste of decomposing corpses are among us all year long. See the blood on their plates, the stench of seared flesh on their bacon sandwiches, the chicken fat on their lips. Escape now! Run screaming from the curse of the meat eaters. Heart attack, cancer, stroke. Save yourself and all those animal lives. Go vegan now. Free recipes at PETA.org.
I'd leaned so much in those days. I woke up on my side. I said, driver of life, you can hear and let me off here. And when he did, my face, my friend, was a picture of fear. When the road moves on, let it push you along. When the road moves on, let it push you along. At first light of the night, we cut lines, cause to be cold. And I burned St. Anthony's name till I forgot what I
live. tuned in to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform, non-commercial community, and even sometimes educational radio. This is the Tears of the Gods sound collage. I'm your host, Edward Buchert, and our theme is Halloween, featuring Wendy Carlos's Beauty and the Beast album and Township's eponymous 2008 album. We began that last set with John 5 and Dead Man's Dream from his Vertigo album, and then Incantation from Wendy Carlos's Beauty and the Beast album. Then Jim Morrison and The Doors gave us Ghost Song, followed by Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band with Vampire Suite. Next up was Slayer with Spirit in Black, and then some public service messages, leading us to then wrap up the set with Saint Anthony from Township. Backing me up right now is Land of the Loops with a piece called I Dream of Ghosts. In the next set, we're going to be hearing a track each from our featured albums, as well as a cool TV show theme and Apollo 440. And we're going to start it off with this 12-minute TED Talk remix of Wendy Carlos's Just Imaginings.
So think of it this way. Imagine a world full of brains and far more memes than can possibly find homes. The memes are all trying to get copied, trying in inverted commas, i.e. the shorthand is, that's the shorthand for, if they can get copied, they will. They're using you and me as their propagating a copying machinery. And we are the meme machines. Now, why is this important? Why is this useful, or what does it tell us? It gives us a completely new view of human origins and what it means to be human. All conventional theories of cultural evolution, of the origin of humans and what makes us so different from other species, all other theories explaining the big brain and language and tool use and all these things that make us unique, are based upon genes. Language must have been useful for the genes. Tool use must have enhanced our survival, mating, and so on. It always comes back, as Richard Dawkins complained all that long time ago, it always comes back to genes. The point of memetics is to say, oh no, it doesn't. There are two replicators now on this planet. From the moment that our ancestors, perhaps 2.5 million years ago or so, began imitating, there was a new copying process. Copying with variation and selection. A new replicator was let loose. And it could never be, right from the start, it could never be that human beings who let loose this new creature could just copy the useful, beautiful, true things and not copy the other things. While their brains were having an advantage from being able to copy lighting fires, keeping fires going, new techniques of hunting, these kinds of things, inevitably they were also copying putting feathers in their hair or wearing strange clothes or painting their faces or whatever. So you get an arms race between the genes which are trying to get the humans to have small economical brains and not waste their time copying all this stuff. And the memes themselves, like the sounds that people made and copied, in other words, what turned out to be language, competing to get the brains to get bigger and bigger. So the big brain on this theory is driven by the memes. This is why in the meme machine, I called it memetic drive. As the memes evolve, as they inevitably must, they drive a bigger brain that is better at copying the memes that that are doing the driving. This is why we've ended up with such peculiar brains, that we like religion and music and art. Language is a parasite that we've adapted to, not something that was there originally for our genes on this view. And like most parasites, it can begin dangerous, but then it co-evolves and adapts, and we end up with a symbiotic relationship with this new parasite. And so from our perspective, we don't realize that's how it began. So this is a view of what humans are. All other species on this planet are gene machines only. They don't imitate at all well, hardly at all. We alone are gene machines and meme machines as well. The memes took a gene machine and turned it into a meme machine. But that's not all. We have new kind of memes now. I've been wondering for a long time, since I've been thinking about memes a lot, is there a difference between the memes that we copy, the words we speak to each other, the gestures we copy, the human things, and all these technological things around us? I have always, until now, called them all memes. But I think, I do honestly think now we need a new word for technological memes. Let's call them techno memes or teams. Because the processes are getting different. We began perhaps 5,000 years ago with writing. We put the storage of memes out there on a clay tablet. But in order to get true teams and true team machines, you need to get the variation, the selection, and the copying all done outside of humans. And we're getting there. We're at this extraordinary point where we're nearly there, that there are machines like that. And indeed, in the short time I've already been at TED, I see we're even closer than I thought we were before. So actually, now the teams are forcing our brains to become more like team machines. Our children are growing up very quickly, learning to read, learning to use machinery. We're going to have all kinds of implants, drugs that force us to stay awake all the time. We'll think we're choosing these things, but the teams are making us do it. So we're at this cusp now of having a third replicator on our planet. Now, what about what else is going on out there in the universe? Is there anyone else out there? People have been asking this question for a long time. We've been asking it here at TED already. In 1961, Frank Drake made his famous equation. But I think he concentrated on the wrong things. It's been very productive, that equation. He wanted to estimate N, the number of communicative civilizations out there in our galaxy. And he included in there the rate of star formation, the rate of planets, but crucially, intelligence. I think that's the wrong way to think about it. Intelligence appears all over the place in all kinds of guises. Human intelligence is only one kind of a thing. But what's really important is the replicators you have and the levels of replicators, one feeding on the one before. So I would suggest that we don't think intelligence, we think replicators. And on that basis, I've suggested a different kind of equation, a very simple equation. N, the same thing, the number of communicative civilizations out there we might expect in our galaxy. Just start with the number of planets there are in our galaxy, the fraction of those which get a first replicator, the fraction of those that get the second replicator, the fraction of those that get the third replicator, because it's only the third replicator that's going to reach out, sending information, sending probes, getting out there and communicating with anywhere else. Okay, so if we take that equation, why haven't we heard from anybody out there? Because every step is dangerous. Getting a new replicator is dangerous. You can pull through. We have pulled through, but it's dangerous. Take the first step. As soon as life appeared on this Earth, we may take the Gaian view. I loved Peter Ward's talk yesterday. It's not Gaian all the time. Actually, life forms produce things that kill themselves. Well, we did pull through on this planet. But then, a long time later, billions of years later, we got the second replicator, the memes. That was dangerous, all right? Think of the big brain. How many mothers do we have here? You know all about big brains. They're dangerous to give birth to, agonizing to give birth to. My cat gave birth to four kittens purring all the time. Slightly different. But not only is it painful, it kills lots of babies, it kills lots of mothers, and it's very expensive to produce. The genes are forced into producing all this myelinate, all the fat to myelinate the brain. Do you know, sitting here, your brain is using about 20% of your body's energy output for 2% of your body weight. Well, it's a really expensive organ to run. Why? Because it's producing the memes. Now, it could have killed us off.
It's just good, clean fun. Keeps them out of pool halls.
The house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
Talked yesterday about how we're the only one in this branch left. What happened to the others? Could it be that this experiment in imitation, this experiment in a second replicator, is dangerous enough to kill people? Well, we did pull through and we adapted. But now we're hitting, as I've just described, we're hitting the third replicator. And this is even more dangerous. Well, it's dangerous again. Why? Because the teams are selfish replicators and they don't care about us or our planet or anything else. They're just just information. Why would they? They are using us to suck up the planet's resources to produce more computers and more of all these amazing things we're hearing. Seems to us. Think teams spreading because they must. We are the old machines. Now, are we going to perform? What's going to happen? What does it mean to perform? Well, there are kind of two ways of perform. One that is obviously happening all around us now is that the teams turn us into team machines with these implants, with the drugs, with us merging with the technology. Why would they do that? Because we are self-replicating. We have babies. We make new ones. And so it's convenient to do that. Yet at the stage on this planet where the other option is viable, although it's closer, I heard this morning, it's closer than I thought it was, where the team machines themselves will replicate themselves. That way, it wouldn't matter if the planet's climate was utterly destabilized and it was no longer possible for humans to live here. Because those tea machines, they wouldn't need, they're not squishy, wet, oxygen-breathing, warmth-requiring creatures. They could carry on without us. So those are the two possibilities. The second, I don't think we're that close. It's coming, but we're not there yet. The first, it's coming too. But the damage that is already being done to the planet is showing us how dangerous the third point is. That third danger point, getting the third replicator. And will we get through this third danger point? Like we got through the second and like we got through the first? Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. I have no idea.
That was an incredible talk.
Thank you. I scared myself.
The survivors of the nuclear fire called the war Judgment Day. They lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines.
Pain. Born on the water, it turned into ice. There's a storm outside.
You're listening to the Tears of the Gods sound collage here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform, non-commercial community radio. Our theme is Halloween, featuring Wendy Carlos's Beauty and the Beast album and local band Township's eponymous 2008 album, plus essentially all of Susan Blackmore's TED Talk called Memes and Teams. The set began with Wendy Carlos's Just Imaginings, and then we heard Vic Mizzi's Adam's Family TV theme, followed by Apollo 440 and The Machine in the Ghost from their Getting High on Your Own Supply album. And we concluded the set with Township's Burning. Behind me right now is Jack Malmsteen with Satan Takes a Holiday, which I found on Ultra Lounge Volume 3, Space Capades. And continuing thanks to Coffee and Smoke's Alex Piandez for turning me on to that whole incredible Ultra Lounge series. We've got one last set for you. It's going to include Native American artist Johnny Whitehorse, the British band The Cult, and some old-time music from the Armstrong family. But first, let's start things off with a song called Witch from Belly.
Thank you. I'll keep it short and sweet. Family, religion, friendship. These are the three demons you must slay if you wish to succeed in business.
Claudia learned not to joke about her husband's bipolar illness.
He was acting silly about something, and I said, "Whoa, have you taken your meds today?" And he said, "I really don't appreciate that." And he's had friends that have done that too, and he generally has had the nerve to call him on it and say, "Maybe we need to have a little education here." Sometimes people lightly use the word crazy or, "Gee, you're really acting manic."
Mental health is no joking matter. from the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Been listening to the Tears of the Gods sound collage here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts freeform, non-commercial, community, and even sometimes educational radio. We've been celebrating Halloween with this episode. We began with Belly in a song called Witch, and then we heard Johnny Whitehorse with Spirit Rider. The Cult followed that with Ghost Dance from Rare Cult Disc 1. And then we heard from the Armstrong Family and Ghost of John from their album The Wheel of the Year, 30 years with the Armstrong Family. And we're closing things out here with a custom mixed version of Time Warp from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. There are actually three versions of that on the original soundtrack album. Thanks for listening to this sound collage, and stay tuned for Savoir Faire with songs from the Squid Pod and some of the best music of the 1980s for you here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
It's just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You're bringing these in time.
Bye.
Due to COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson.